Chapter 54. "You haven't been entirely honest with me," Karras said once the secretaries and slaves had cleared out of the whites' rooms to give them privacy.
"I am entirely honest with Orholm alone, and him only when he forces it from me, I'm afraid," the white said.
"None of that," Karras said. "Don't turn this religious. I'm not taking over your spy network because you're room-bound and you can't go see them all yourself."
"Oh, at least that's not the only reason," Karras said.
The white's wrinkles deepened as she smiled. She had lines aplenty, of course, and the smile lines were not so deep as the worry lines.
"Push me to the window, dear."
Scowling, Karras did so. One couldn't push the woman's chair across her apartments without being painfully aware of how thin and saggy her skin was, how delicate the bones. It was as if death were gently announcing his impending arrival by these hints at how close to a skeleton this woman was, how near the end of her term of service on this earth.
"Hold. Are you deliberately reminding me how frail you are so I don't yell at you?"
The white laughed.
"Not everything is a trick, girl."
Karras frowned deeper.
"Oh, well, sorry then."
"But that was..." The white's grin was infectious, and Karras couldn't help but grin along with her. She took back all her thoughts about death's arrival. This woman was going to live forever. Somehow, Aurea Palor was a little girl caught filching sweetmeats, smiling like, "Mummy, you can't be mad at me, I'm too cute," and simultaneously, the wisest old crone in all the world. Karras couldn't lose her. She sat down on the floor with her back to the blue Luxin wall, looking up at the woman who had become hero and mother to her.
"Please don't leave me," she said.
She couldn't help it.
"Not until it's my time, girl," the white said.
Karras scowled again.
"Well, that's meaningless."
The white waved a dismissive hand.
"Bah! People say meaningless things all the time when they're about to die. How about this one? As long as I'm in your heart, I'll never truly die." "Ha! Please don't keep me trapped in your heart after I die, girl. I get claustrophobic." "How about you'll be watching over me?"
Karras asked, only half joking.
"Sure. So please spend less time in latrines because I don't want to see it."
Karras laughed, and then she couldn't bring up what she'd come to ask about. Her courage wasn't doing so great today.
"You've had a little talk with Marissa,"
the white prompted.
"I just came from there. How do you know? I thought we had all your spies." "What need for spies when I have eyes?" "Huh? Or a nose? You reek of that whiskey she drinks, crag tooth, which means she was trying to make peace. Otherwise, she'd have given you that swill, Barrenmore."
"Oh, right. Not everything was about spies and betrayal. You still had to use your wits." Karras took a deep breath.
"You brought me on to handle your spies, you said, but you've already got Marissa. She's been your spy handler for years, hasn't she?"
"Yes," the white said.
"So why did you ask me to do what she's already doing, probably better than I ever will? Were you just trying to give me purpose? You thought I'd kill myself without Gavin around? Without the Black Guard?"
"I don't see you as one for self-slaughter,"
Karras said. "You're giving me nothing here, please."
The white smiled sadly.
"For many years now, Marissa has handled my spies within the Chromeria. I personally handled all the external spies. She is very, very good. She would be better than I am at such work, were it not that I am the white, and meeting me personally tends to carry weight. With the spy we're handling in this matter, it's unclear whether this should be treated as an internal Chromeria matter or an external threat."
So the white was simply transferring a spy from one handler to the next.
"That's all?"
Karras asked.
"This didn't come up when you fought with her?" the white countered. "There weren't that many words exchanged." "Oh, dear. You didn't break any of her bones, did you, darling?"
Karras kept a straight face.
"You'd be surprised how much pain I can inflict without doing permanent damage."
The white winced.
"But that's it?"
Karras asked. Fun as it was to mislead the white in something harmless, Karras had gotten awfully wound up over something that turned out to be utterly trivial. The white lifted her hands.
"There isn't always a grand design."
"With you there is," Karras almost said. "Instead, I could have used some warning."
"About Marissa, she meant." "You needed to have it out with her. I expected you to do it on your own long ago. Perhaps your abstention from red and green is doing you more good than I'd hoped.
About that, Caris said.
How long? No. But no. I've absolutely not.
Very well, then, Caris said.
If you'll excuse me, I have a desire to go to the training room and destroy something.
You're dismissed. I'm sure Mauricio will be eager to come give me her version of events.